Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the West Covina Unified School District meeting of the Board of Education. This evening is a special meeting to deal with some issues that have come before us. We will call this meeting to order at 6:33. Before we go into closed session, however, I would like to invite the public to comment on any items that we will be discussing in closed session. In closed session this evening, we're talking about public employee appointment and employment and for the interim superintendent. Is there anybody who would like to speak to that issue? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Back from closed session, it is 7:20 this evening. We were in open session. We will leave this evening's meeting with an invocation. Is there anybody in the public who would like to give an invocation this evening? If not, will you please join me in a moment of silence so we can settle your thoughts and move forward? Thank you. Please join me and salute our flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Miranda Jimenez?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Mrs. Bullock? Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Seaman?
Here.
I have one matter to report out of closed session this evening. This evening we considered appointment of an interim superintendent. It was moved by Mike Spence, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, to approve Pedro Garcia as our interim superintendent effective June 1st, 2011. And the vote on that item was 3-1 with Jessica Shoemaker voting no. Open the hearing session. Board President's report, I have nothing. Any Board of Education report? Anybody? Yes.
I was happy to say that I forgot to mention at the last board meeting the spelling bee was excellent, and I wanted to give my congratulations to the staff for putting that on. Great job. As well as I've attended today, Hollingcrest's talent show, and those students did a wonderful job. And last week, I was at Edgewood High School meeting with Ms. Gonzalez and getting a tour of the school now that everything is in place and seeing all the updates that the school has done. So I want to say thanks to everyone, and what a great job the principals are doing as well as the staff.
We will go from to items from the floor for public comment. I do have some blue cards for requests to speak. I would like to remind people that the public comment section is of the regular meeting of the Board of Education provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on any subject within its jurisdiction. We ask the speakers consider the decorum of this official meeting and remind speakers that comments and criticism can be politely and respectfully stated. We ask that speakers remain mindful that students and children are part of our audience and that we all serve as role models for them regarding good behavior. We also ask speakers to consider the privacy interests of individual employees and remind speakers there is a procedure outside of the context of this meeting for filing a complaint against the district or a district employee. More information about that process can be obtained from the superintendent's office during regular business hours. With that, my first speaker request this evening is Lynn Carey.
Good evening. I'm here to represent Walnut Grove Intermediate School, and we had a talk meeting after our staff meeting this afternoon and had two petitions go to the staff members, and I wanted to bring that to your attention. The first one states, we the undersigned challenge the talk May 26, 2011 vote on the 8-period-day MOU due to denial of fair representation. This vote received 21 of 22 people in favor of the fact that we were denied fair representation. There were three people absent in addition to that. So we had a 95% people felt that they were not fairly represented. Primarily, the two reasons that would fall within the bylaws is the fact that all members did not receive the right to vote, which states clearly in the talk bylaws that they should even have that right by mail. And then also that this 75% that was put through, our union rep was unable to bring that back to the members at our school site so that we could discuss it and decide whether or not it was something that we all wanted. In addition to that, we also sent a petition around. It states we, the undersigned, are in favor of the memorandum of understanding for the 8-period day put forth by TALK and the district. 20 of the 22 people, which is 91% from our school site, are in favor of the 8-period day. And we just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Maria Garza.
Hello. I didn't have anything prepared, but I did just want to piggyback on what Lynn Carey said. I have a petition here from Holland Crest Middle School, and we have 19 signatures and two absent teachers who would like their names on that, but I didn't want to write their names on them for that. But we have definitely over 50% here at Holland Crest. Okay. Also about the 8-period day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Catherine Brayton.
Hi. I'm from Holland Crest, and as a PINK teacher, I wanted to make sure that the outcome of this 8-period day vote was accurate. Since if this vote does not pass, I will personally lose the job that I love, along with 8 other people. If all the teachers' votes were truly counted and the outcome was under 75%, then I would willingly pack my bags and go gently into that good night. However, I feel that there were some voices that were not heard for one reason or another, and that the vote is, in fact, inaccurate. And I hope that those who did not get the opportunity to vote are given that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig Michael.
I'm here to talk about something completely different. Actually, I'm here representing Edgewood High School and Edgewood Middle School about the same issue. We, too, circulated a petition at Edgewood Middle School regarding the 8-period day vote, and we, too, feel like it was a not denial of fair representation. The vast majority of our staff at both of those schools, the middle school primarily being the voting school, but also Edgewood High School, feels that the voting, that teachers who are paying members of the union were denied the right to vote. And basically, we're here because we want the public, the school board, and also the district to know that the vast, like, overwhelming majority of middle school teachers in this district are in favor of the current MOU that was negotiated, and hope that you consider that before moving forward in regards to these 9 teachers' jobs. And we're pushing forward as well, and we're not going to give up on the issue of demanding a revote. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Stephanie Broviak.
Okay, I'll be really brief. I just wanted to say that I know some of you felt that some of us were incompetent and unorganized, but I just wanted to confirm to everybody here that Mrs. Eileen Miranda Jimenez did receive her notice of intent to circulate recall petition. It was delivered Saturday, May 28th at 3 o'clock p.m. via express overnight mail.
Would anybody like to address the board at this time? Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll move on with the organizational items. We really only have a few items and to discuss, but I'll ask, does anybody want to put anything on consent? Seeing none, we'll not. And there is no action for moving forward on any consent agenda, so we'll talk with the first item, the discussion of possible action on retention of a superintendent search consultant, discuss possible to take action to approve the retention of a superintendent search consultant. You want to comment on it?
Not at this time, no.
Okay, thank you. In closed session, we had a opportunity to, and each board member was given a proposal to conduct a superintendent search through Leadership Associates. Leadership Associates is a company that's been around, a long, long time. They have helped us in our search for superintendent over the last three terms, including Dr. Fish, Dr. Vladovic, and Mrs. Lace Castillo. We are confident in their ability to help us and their qualifications in moving forward, and the fee for their services is certainly consistent with the going rates. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Spence?
I am quite familiar with Leadership Associates. We've used them at least three or four times for different tasks.
Ms. Shoemaker?
I have several issues with this. I, too, am familiar with Leadership and Associates. I was elected to the board shortly before Ms. Lace Castillo was selected as our superintendent. And my issue is not with Leadership and Associates. My issue is with the fact that the board president unilaterally went out and solicited this proposal. There was no discussion amongst the board about requesting proposals, and even though we have used Leadership and Associates in the past, even with Ms. Lace Castillo, a request for proposals went out, because I'm glad that Mr. Cox is confident that Leadership and Associates has comparable rates to anybody else, but we don't see that. What's even more troubling to me about this was a special meeting for one purpose. As most of you are aware, because most of you attend most board meetings, Ms. Kamipolis is seriously ill. Knowing that she was having treatment, this item was placed on the agenda. Knowing that Ms. Polis, one of five elected board members, would not be here. There was no chance she was going to be here. This wasn't a maybe she can make it, maybe she won't. There was no chance that she was going to be here. This item was placed on our agenda. I have watched for the last, since January of 2010, well, December of 2009, when the board changed, a constant shift to excluding certain board members. And I have to say that I find this to be the most disgusting example of that. And I don't know where to go from here. So to Leadership and Associates, as I expressed to you, I have every confidence in your ability, but I cannot, in good conscience, knowing that one of my fellow board members was deliberately excluded, vote to move forward on this item.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Is there a motion for this item, please? I need a motion to approve Leadership Associates as the retention of a superintendent search form.
I'll move.
Is there a second? It's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Mike Spence to retain Leadership Associates as the superintendent search consultant. All in favor, by signifying by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion passes 3-1 with Ms. Shoemaker opposing.
That's unfair. You're missing a person. How unfair can it be?
Next item on the agenda is a facilities use agreement with the Willowwood site.
The agenda item you have is a facilities use agreement for the Willowwood site for Edison Learning Incorporated in San Jose Edison Charter. And the agreement that we had that was signed by legal counsel for Edison Learning and Mr. Cox, there was a slight discrepancy for our legal counsel, Mr. Sims. He's been in conversation, and the board has the facilities use agreement and the DC architect's assessment that has caused this kind of confusion. But in the DC Architects write-up on page 4 of 5, there's an issue with a soap dispenser, paper towels, toilet paper, seat covers, and trash cans that at the March 22nd board meeting, the board had stated that, that those consumables would be Edison Learning and San Jose Edison's responsibility. That was not specifically written into the facilities use agreement, although Trevin Sims has contacted Jerry Simmons, legal counsel for San Jose Edison, Tom Jackson, legal counsel for Edison Learning, and Dr. Denise Patton, and they have all agreed that those would be the responsibility of San Jose Edison and Edison Learning. The revision to this facilities use agreement was not received prior to the board meeting, but Mr. Sims, in my conversation with him at about 6:25, said that that has been sent to Mr. Jackson, and he's waiting for Mr. Jackson to send it back for signatures.
Okay, so in essence, what is we have an agreement.
You have an agreement before you that doesn't really spell out what, whose responsibility those items are in this particular agreement that you have before you that's signed by both parties. That's the discrepancy.
So we're talking about toilet seat covers and some incidentals as such. And
correct.
And leadership, I mean, and Edison Learning. Excuse me. Thank you. So in essence, to ratify this evening, we've taken a contract that I did sign before I left out of town on business, and so I wasn't able to attend the meeting last week. We have agreement to this. They're using the facilities, and is that correct at this point?
We have agreement to this, and he and Mr. Sims has assured me we have agreement from the other parties, Edison Learning,
okay.
But he doesn't have that written document in his hand, so I could not get that to you before this meeting.
I don't have a problem.
But that is the only issue in discrepancy. Is not there's okay. There's no other material issue there.
And when did you send that over to him?
They were exchanging today, but as you understand, Tom Jackson's in New York. They're 3 hours ahead of us. When I talked to Trevin at 6:25, that's actually 9:25 there, so he did not get that back from Mr. Jackson this evening. We expected to have it before this meeting.
Okay, well, I'll move to approve the facilities use agreement for Building E, Music Room, and Home Economics Room, and Building F, Multipurpose Room, at the Willowood site for San Jose Edison Academy use, and that contract is the one forwarded to Edison Learning by Trevin Sims on May 31st, 2011.
May 31st. Okay. Okay.
For use through June 30th, 2009.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
I'll second that.
It is moved by Mike Spence, seconded by.
I have a question.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a question.
So go ahead.
We're approving an agreement that. Was signed previously by Tom Jackson, who didn't notify our attorney that he had made some changes, and now we're approving the agreement before we know whether or not any changes have been made because our attorney still has not received the final signed copy from Edison Learning.
No, we're approving the contract that he sent them.
And hoping that they sign it and make no changes.
It's not approved. But we're approving the contract you signed.
Which we still haven't actually really seen either, because there is one other issue, and that is in one of the buildings, we had specifically discussed the fact that some of the changes that were going to be made were programmatic to Edison Learning, and so it was brushed aside in the language of negotiating the facilities use agreement, and so I don't see that addressed here either. But, you know, it's neither here nor there apparently, because, you know, I voted against entering into it to begin with. I voted against it last week, and I'm going to vote against it now.
Thank you. It's moved by Mike Spence, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, to approve and ratify the facilities use agreement for Building E, Music Room, and Home Economics Room, and Building F, Multipurpose Room, at the Willowood site for San Jose Edison Academy. What was that? As presented in the contract prepared by Trevin Sims on May 30th, 2011.
May 31st.
Excuse me, May 31st, 2011. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion passes 3-1. And item number 3 is a resolution of final action on termination of certificated employees due to a reduction of particular kinds of services.
As was stated by some speakers previously, there was a vote on Thursday, May 26th, by TALK members that would be affected by an MOU, which had brought about the action of this layoff. We had scheduled a layoff hearing with the affected parties. Our legal counsel, Darren Kamea, and their legal counsel, Tamara Smith, were able to work out a stipulated agreement, which you see before you in this resolution. There's a resolution and accompanying documents that show individuals that would need to receive final layoff notification. So the district's requesting to adopt this resolution to be able to serve final layoff notification to the individuals on attachment C. There's 9 individuals on attachment C.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Cox?
Mr. Spence?
This whole issue really bothers me because my understanding is we have a June 3rd deadline, right, on the layoffs. Is that correct?
They have to receive by June 2nd.
June 2nd, okay. And we have a negotiated agreement, but that agreement has now been rejected. Is that correct? Is that the right terminology?
We have a negotiated agreement that was similar to a TA that needs to be ratified by both the members and the board.
So I guess my question is, if we rescind the resolution, and how do we implement that contract? Or if we were to rescind the layoffs and somehow we weren't able to implement the 8-period day, then we would have excess teachers at the middle school level.
Possibly that would depend on the staffing of a 6-period day and our required, you know.
So is there a way for us to rescind this and implement the 8-period day? And that opens up to a PERB problem, is that right?
Yes. If we unilaterally implement without, we would be in violation of different areas of the contract that have not been waived by an MOU.
And what's the consequences for that?
We'd end up in a PERB case, and more than likely, I don't want to say more than likely, but there's chances we would lose the PERB case and have to revert from an 8-period day to a 6-period day mid-year.
Okay, mid-year, it would take to mid-year to do that?
Well, I don't know how long it would take to get through PERB. It doesn't happen real quickly sometimes. So
now, who files the PERB charge?
They would have to file the PERB charge.
Okay, so we could be in the situation of the Teachers Association filing a PERB charge against us for implementing a program and saving that one teachers wanted that we think had an impact on middle school scores and save teachers' jobs?
Correct.
So the vote to ratify, brought up by teachers this evening, was, what's the status of that right now?
The status of that right now is I've been officially informed that the MOU was voted down 57-20 because there was a clause in their bylaw that MOUs need to be passed by 75%. 57 yes votes and 20 no votes is actually 74.1%. Mm-hmm. So I was officially notified from TALK representative, their bargaining chair, that the MOU was voted down. So we proceeded on with the layoff, and I've proceeded to look at staffing for a 6-period day, which is not completed yet.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we rescind the resolution and not take final action on termination of certificate employees, and to make plans to unilaterally implement the 8-period day.
Second that.
Okay.
Of course, it would be much easier for us if the MOU gets passed and we can ratify an MOU than
that would be fine too. That'd be
fine too,
and I'm hoping for that.
I mean, I assume by the action of the speakers that spoke tonight that there's some.
There is a timeline on this petition. As I've been informed, there was a 10-day timeline from the date of the vote. So they had 10 days from the date of the vote to submit a petition to CTA just to determine that there was unfair representation. How long that takes and whether that happens quickly or not is...
Did that go through the process? What is that? It has, what impact does that have on us? That, let's assume that it was not a fair and then they revote. Let's, you know, what's the timeline on that? How does it impact you?
I don't know what the timeline would be because that's really CTA and TOCS bylaws. That's not a PERB case or an Ed Code case. Mm-hmm. That's really through the TOCS bylaws through CTA. So I'm not sure what the timeline would be for that. If it led into the beginning of the year, then we would have trouble.
Yeah, and I do want to make clear on my motion that it's unilateral to implement the MOU that was negotiated.
To unilaterally, okay, but that wasn't the resolution. That was the motion that you made.
Yes.
Yes, it was?
Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm.
To unilaterally.
That we do not, we rescind the notice layoffs, right, because we have to do that, right?
Well, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure we can take a vote on anything except the resolution. Because that's what's on the agenda. So we could take a if you don't approve the resolution, then I cannot deliver notification to these people of final layoff notice.
Yeah, but you can't figure out the staffing either if you don't know our direction.
True. And if I don't deliver by the second, then they would not be laid off.
So, yeah.
We could do the other part at a subsequent meeting. I'm not sure we can vote on something that's not on the agenda.
But that's the particular kind of services that are being reduced. So we're saying we're not reducing those services.
Right, you can say that.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
The other piece.
No, I'm saying we aren't
reducing. Unilateral implementation.
Well, the resolution is a final action on termination of certificate employees due to a reduction of particular kinds of services. And I'm saying we're rescinding that resolution and we are not reducing those particular kind of services.
Right, that's acceptable.
And that's implemented a period a day.
Okay.
Because we're not reducing those services.
Well, you can not reduce the services and still not implement the 8-period day.
Well, let me look at that thing. Because that was the purpose of the...
Well, we have
right,
a,
I understand
we have
that. So I think here you're talking about a resolution, whether you're going to approve this resolution or not approve. Right. If you don't approve, then I don't have authority to issue final layoff notifications, and therefore these individuals will not be laid off. And if your direction is to then implement an 8-period day... You wouldn't take a vote to that, but you could. We could have that direction.
That consensus of decision is to move forward.
Well, what are the stipulations then here?
Well, then.
Stipulations that were decided upon between the lawyers had to do with seniority dates and bumping rights and whether some, and that's why you see only 9 people here. Remember, if you remember, there were 22 people that were notified, but some of them that seniority dates that were senior enough that they were not going to be affected by the 8 positions of English language arts or the 6 positions of math. And then other people, because of retirements or having other credentials, were able to bump other less senior, well, they didn't actually bump less senior people, bump into positions that were vacated by retirees or held by temporary teachers. And that's why you see these 9, 2 math and 7 English teachers that did not have places to bump into.
But the first whereas is clear that it's because of a reduction in discontinuance of particular kinds of services.
Right. So you're discontinuing 8 positions of English language arts and 6 positions of math.
Yeah.
Which was not stated related directly to the 8-period day. So that's all I'm cautioning. I know that we know that, but I'm just cautioning that we make the motion basically to not approve this resolution if that's the direction the board wants to go.
Okay. I move to reject the resolution and...
Well, we have a resolution. You can either vote yes or no on it. By doing that, you
no,
either
No, because
reject.
I want to talk about the reduction of particular kinds of services, that we aren't reducing them. Be clear, we are not reducing those particular kinds of services. Because I think those things go together.
Well, and it would. If you didn't do this, we wouldn't be able to reduce these positions. But... Your direction to implement the 8-period day doesn't necessarily have to go hand in hand with not approving this resolution is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I want to make it clear we're not discontinuing or reducing the particular kinds of services, whatever that means.
I'm not sure where we are. I have a motion on the table, but I think that has been withdrawn.
No.
Well, the motion was to rescind a resolution that we haven't made.
Well, it's the final action. It rescinds the previous actions. We're rejecting the final action.
Right.
And we're saying we're not reducing the particular kinds of services.
So that just comes to a point of, are we going to reject the final action? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
So is that the motion?
Was, and we're not reducing the particular kinds of services.
That's fine.
And I mean, on June 14th, we can clarify that if we want. But I want to make it clear as part of this, we're rescinding it and we're not reducing the or discontinuing any particular kind of service.
Monica, do you have that resolution? The resolution, the motion that was made.
To reject the resolution of final action of termination of certificate of employees listed and not reduce the particular kinds of service.
Mm-hmm. Reduce or discontinue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That sounds good if there's a second.
And that agrees with your second? That's your understanding?
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm real clear. We can reduce that. We can vote this down. And there is time. That's just the only thing I need clarity on. Is there time by our next board meeting to then say we want to keep the 8-period day?
Yes.
Yes, there is time.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's moved by Mike Spence, seconded by Aileen Miranda Jimenez.
Okay.
Then I'm sorry, I don't think I can repeat the resolution. Would you do that one more time, please? Or the motion.
Monica.
To reject the resolution of final action of termination of certificated employees listed and not reduce or discontinue the particular kinds of service.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Is that a yes?
Mm-hmm.
Motion passes 4-0. That gets us. Any other board discussion? And dates to remember, we have the June 9th at West Covina High School, June 10th Edgewood High School promotion, West Covina High School graduation, June 10th, Hollencrest, Walnut Grove, and Coronado, and the last day of school, June 14th, San Jose Edison promotion, and June 14th, Board of Education meeting.
I'm sorry, I have one other thing to add.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, during my opening, I neglected to mention, and some of Edgewood just left, but they had their orientation tonight, and I was there, and there was a great showing of parents and new students excited about the next new incoming 9th grade class. So I did attend that orientation, and I want to again congratulate Edgewood High School for putting together a fabulous event and welcoming the new students in the community, and they have a lot of great clubs for next year. I'm really excited. And they're playing CIF sports. Yep, they're going to do CIF sports, so that's good too. Okay, that was it.
And with that, this meeting is adjourned at 7:52. Thank you.